The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin, and today on The Breakfast Grill are Dato' Halim Abdul Halim Mansor, President of the Malaysian Trade Union Congress, and Syed Shahir Syed Mahmud, a former MTUC President and also Senator. Yesterday was a Labour Day, and around the world, governments, unions and workers' organisations celebrated and also reflected on the advances made in the name of the working man and woman. Remember, you can always tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 and be part of this conversation. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining us this morning. We, of course, were, like everybody else, on leave yesterday. We didn't have a show yesterday, so it's very timely to have you both here. I want to begin with you, Halim. You are the president of the Malaysian Trade Union Congress. Could you explain to us the question of the strength of the trade union movement today? How, what are the levels in terms of unionization in Malaysia nationally, and what kind of strength does it bring to the table when negotiating on behalf of working men and women?
Thank you. Selamat pagi. Very good morning to BFM Radio. First of all, let me say Selamat Hari Pekerja, or Happy Workers' Day. And on the question, Sharad, if we are talking about MTUC itself, we are only a centre. We do not have members. But if you are talking about the capacity of the members of a union in Malaysia, it is about either they are affiliate or they are not affiliate. There's around 800 to 1 million. And we have on the private sector, on the government sector, that is about 1.6 million. So this is the thing. The strength of the union actually depends exactly not what that we face with the law. Actually, the difficulty that we face is when the employer challenge the union on the recognition process. And this take long because they can go from industrial court to high court, even to federal court. This may cost about 10 years. So this where really affect the strength of the union, because of the workers feel that, you know, the time that taken to be a union member, to get the right of collective bargaining, that was so long. And the employers was trying the best to make sure not to stop the union, but just to block, to make sure that collective agreement cannot be proceeded to be nego.
Syed, I want to bring you into the conversation at this point in time. When we look at the history of unionization globally, you know, there are different models of union systems. You have, in some countries, omnibus unions, basically a collection of unions that go across sectors. It's very strong as a consequence. In some countries, they only allow enterprise-level unions and such. In your assessment, you were a long-time unionist and also political activist, what is the problem for Malaysian unions in terms of becoming a strong force within society?
Let us go back to the 40s. Interestingly, the rate or density of unionization at that time was around 21%. It's very interesting.
21% as a
corporate? Yeah, as opposed to the labor force at that time. But of course, things changed tremendously within 60, 70 years. And we are not talking about at that particular moment, this country developed in embedded coma, developed into something that is not happened in the 40s. We are talking about plantation sector and service sector. But union at that time managed to push through in spite of hardship and, of course, hatred by the employers and the government and so forth, but managed to push through and get workers to join the union. You are right that globally, it seems that it's a downtrend insofar as the rate for the growth of a trade union, except for maybe in the case of South Korea, South Africa maybe, and certain part of the Europe. And what model are we talking about? Because here we are talking about the union must be within the ambit of the law, i.e., occupation, trade, industry. And during Dr. Mahathir, when he was the Prime Minister, he added the word establishment that will give room to enterprise, because at that time was to link up with the so-called Lucas policy, look at Japan, look at Korea. But as we all understand, there is no one size fits all. What happened in Japan and what happened in Korea is completely different, because they have a different union situation there. Mind you, Toyota Corporation, for instance, have got almost 500,000 employees. And of course, they can form enterprise union. But the issue is, under that particular Toyota union, there are several other unions, small unions, part manufacturing, service, trading, and what have you.
Well, maybe I could just draw Halim back into this conversation about the different models that are there. I mean, the assessment I'm hearing from you, Shai, aside, is that, in fact, we have decreased in the union movement has actually decreased in strength and in bargaining power. Would that be an assessment that you agree with, Halim?
Actually, it's a few factors when we're talking about the trade union growth and development. If we're looking like the model that mentioned by Tuan Said, they have a federation in Korea and Japan. They rectified the convention 87. But if you look at the culture itself of trade union in Malaysia, we are national based and competent of the industries itself. So to me, it is more that where a few other factors that also affect the trade union in Malaysia, because we have about 3.5 million foreign workers that are working with us, whether they are documented or not documented. And this is the cause of most whatever happened, because as far as I'm concerned, I still believe that, you know, the trade union can develop, can grow, if there is a certain limit of challenging by point of law toward the employers. Because this is a stumble block at the moment. Because, for example, I give you an example of a Malaysia malt case between Malaysia Malt and Beverage Executive Union. The case, extended to 10 years until federal court. And this caused a lot to the union, because we are not an organization who are profitable. We are depending on our subscription from the members. So part of it, as I say, you know, it is not simple to say that to grow the union in the sense that all trade union are trying to be active. But at the end of the day, the law, the understanding of certain procedures and rules that make it difficult.
Okay, so we have, Halim, from your perspective, the stumbling block of enterprises or companies not wanting their workers to unionize. Said, you know, in Singapore, we see a very strong trade movement. I mean, people say it's in some ways taken over by the PAP, but still it's a very strong one, in which the PAP has put out the message essentially that it is to the benefit of businesses to have unions if those unions work within a certain framework. And so you have the National Wages Council, for instance, in Singapore. What do you think the message has been from government to businesses about unionization? Have they been able to persuade them that unions might actually be a partner in the growth of enterprises and therefore leveling everybody up?
Let's go back to the history. The development of union in Singapore post-65 and pre-65, it changed a lot. But I think we are here not to debate why Singapore do that and why we are not doing it. That's not the issue, because we can have another forum on this. The situation is this. That what is the role of the state? What is the role of the state? Meaning that if the state intervene and push through that all enterprises, all employers must be abide by this. That's number one. Secondly, people say that, some union been co-opted into the system, or rather sucked by the system. That is another story. That in the case of our friend in Singapore, they were part of the government. You know, ministers, senior ministers of the cabinet are also members of the union. Okay. But I must, what do you call that, make a difference here. I mean, my point is that there is no one size fits all. Even the question of participation of union in the enterprise, it was in fact introduced in Germany, what they term as a coexistence. The trade unionists sit in the board of big corporation. Those days, like DGB members sit in the board of Daimler-Benz under the coexistence. In fact, the same thing also they've been pushed through in the Scandinavian, particularly Sweden and all that. But let's go back to this country. We have been pushed that given the story of how notorious are the employers. Now, this country rectified Convention 144 of ILO Convention, i.e. Tripartite Convention. Now, my suggestion is this, that trade unionists should push for the full implementation of the tripartism, in the sense that you come back to the table and agree to disagree. You know, of course, if the employer were to say, I want to sack your members, no union will agree with that, number one. Likewise, the employer will say, how can I agree with you if you want to cut my profit? Given of that circumstances, then you go on the basis that, all right, I recognize you, and you recognize me. Just like herd in Serengeti in Africa, meaning there's time for the herd to drink water.
Okay. Well, we'll come back to the question of tripartism. It's very, very important in terms of looking at the future. I'm speaking to Dato' Abdul Halim Mansor, president of the Malaysian Trade Union Congress, and also Syed Shahir Syed Mohammad, former MTUC president and former senator. We'll be back with a look at the gifts from caretaker Prime Minister Najib Razak. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Welcome back. If you just joined us, I'm Sharad Kutin, and this is the Breakfast Grill. We're looking at Labour Day that we celebrated just yesterday. Our guests this morning are Dato' Halim Mansor, President of the Malaysian Trade Union Congress, as well as Syed Shahir Syed Mahmud. He is the former MTUC President and Senator. Remember, you can always be part of this conversation. You can tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Halim, I want to come back to the point that Syed made towards the end of the last part when he talked about tripartism tripartite system. Can it work in Malaysia? To what extent is it working in Malaysia?
Okay, thank you. It's a good question, actually, because when you talk about tripartism, then it talk about Convention 144. And then earlier than tripartism, there is Convention 131 that is calling about minimum wage. And both Malaysia rectified this convention. And this tripartism has been worked since the time of the early days leader. This is the only thing as we can look at a few dimensions if we look at. For example, if you look like Singapore, we can't be like Singapore because we cannot be the government as a trade union. It failed in Korea to be the trade union, to be the government. And it also failed in Japan. So the thing is that the tripartite really worked. It is only whether the tripartite then only been rectified, whether it worked. Whether the organizer that is led by the government follow the need of the tripartite. Else then we can say that in Malaysia we have National Labour Advisory Council. Do this board assembled according to the procedure rules. But we have another tripartite body that is called National Wage Council. It worked. It worked because we can say that as we rectify Convention 131, and we fight for the minimum wage, but the government found that in Najib time, not in Mahathir time, it's Najib time, that where he says we are introduced the act of minimum wage, means that right to review every 2 years. And this review board is called as National Council. It is a tripartite. So this is the thing that I say it works.
Sorry, speaking of MTC and its particular role in these conversations with government, yesterday at the 2018 Workers' Rally at Dewan Merdeka at Putra World Trade Center, the caretaker Prime Minister announced that it would be giving MTUC a 3 million ringgit special grant and then also announced a slew of possible gifts to organizations and institutions related to workers' welfare, including SOCSO and the Human Resources Development Fund. All that on the basis of the possibility of Barisan Nasional coming back to power. How do you read his statement yesterday, Syed?
First, the timing of making the statement, that is also important in view of what we are now. I have my reservation on this. If, for instance, that this happened prior to this period of campaign, that could be a different situation altogether. And as if like a quote-unquote quid pro quo, you scratch my back, I scratch yours.
But is that so bad? Halim, how do you read the statement by the Prime Minister?
Actually, when we the statement of the Prime Minister come from our 14 private sector workers affiliate to trade to MTUC letter to the Prime Minister, so but we do not expect any more than you know on the small issue to us is a small issue of government give us 3 million. That is a norm because it happened from my time as a Secretary General when late Khalid was the president after the time of Tuan Said. The thing is that what we have to look at, you know, where the government do not promise or given it to the MTC. But what government do to me, it is the request of the workers. For example, when we see that the government give another 60 million to the employment insurance system. It is because we say to him, you give us 122 million to kick off by 1st January, where the fund is not matured only in the 1st January 2019. So I say, by given the 600 ringgit, it is below the wage, it's below the bell. So the thing is that I say, we request that you must try to give us 1,000 ringgit. And if you're going to be interim, so 1,000 ringgit a month, the first and the second is 800 and third is 600. To us, it is not something that happened during what that he want to say as his political campaign. But the most important thing is we as the workers who struggle this thing since Tuan Said time, and it fruit. It fruit in the sense that we want to make sure workers receive the protection by we working together with the government, but not saying that we are follow whatever they did.
Okay, so working with government, and which is very interesting. The question is, working outside the government or inside the government? Could you help us on this? You have a history of political activism. In your 20s, you ran as a candidate, I believe, in Raub, Pahang. And then more recently, you actually were a candidate for Parti Keadilan Rakyat in the Pandan parliamentary seat. You took on Dr. Ong Tee Kiat. You lost by some 2,000 votes. Now, is it important or is it a problem for unionists to get involved in party politics? Is that a route to strengthening the workers' movement?
Two things. One is that union must be politically conscious. Partisan politics is not the issue. It's a choice of a person. If you choose not to participate, so be it. But union as a movement must get involved with politics. That is the issue now. But not necessarily partisan politics. This is what happened in other part of the world, when they seized the opportunity during this time. In fact, this is the best time to challenge, or rather to demand from all the candidates, or rather all political parties, that if you want us to support you, in return, what do you give to the workers? That is important. It's not happened here. It happened in some other part of the world, whereby the unionists normally don't come to the politician, but it's the other way around, because they are now begging for the votes.
Halim, do you think that the trade union movement is in Malaysia is politically conscious, as I described it?
Actually, still today, I can say that MTUC is non-partisan. And trade union in Malaysia is not really involved in politics, but individual of the leaders' right to be their own political belief. But in the sense that to us, whether we ask or they come to us, for what that we believe when we struggle, if we go the hard way, we have experienced the hard way, we still fail. You know, the only way now we say that, you know, if you want. So I have offered the government with about 6.5 million workers that registered under the Perkeso or under the KWSP, that shows that I say we have 13 million vote, while it versus 1.6 million of the government staff vote. So I say the power of the workers is there. Whether you like it or not, we force you to believe that this is what we need. So we sell to them this idea. For example, we are talking about affordable house. We can go out to fight for it, but we have to go and tell them what we mean, because we have SOCSTO, we have EPF to work out this thing. Well, EPF may not like it, you know, but the thing is that the government may say that it's a good idea. So we sell the idea.
Syed, very quickly, running out of time, just your wish list for the trade union movement, what is it? Because everybody's talking about cost of living, everybody involved, right?
Yeah.
Whether whatever sector you are from and whatever kind of class you're from. Do you think there's something that's specific to the trade union movement that it can bring to the table in terms of conversation?
One is that I think let's go back to the so-called partners, government employers. And then, of course, the union, tripartite, sit down and discuss. And then the issue of wages, what are we talking about? Are we talking about minimum wage? Are we talking about living wage or what? What matter to a worker and his family is that how much that he can bring back to the house and what is the power of the purchasing and the purchasing power of his money. You can have a million or rather trillion like Zimbabwe. What is the point? I mean, that is the issue that we are talking about. You have 2,700 ringgit wages gaji. But then, what's the point? Because you buy ikan kembung for about 20 ringgit per kilo.
Halim, finally, your last words. What is it that you would wish to see for the trade union movement in the near future?
What I hope that in the trade union movement in future, that the government understand the request of the trade union is the request of the workers, the workers of the Malaysia. So this is the thing that where without the workers, the government, the economy will never grow. So look it as a partner.
Thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining us this morning. I've been speaking to Abdul Halim Mansor, President of the Malaysian Trade Union Congress, and Syed Shahir Syed Mahmud, former MTUC President and Senator. I'm Shahid Kutin, and you're listening to The Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.